All right, well, here we are. Well, Meredith, thank you for being on the show once again. You know, it's time to talk about some Neville and just other stuff that's going on too, you know. Yeah, so you've had a lot going on. You've accomplished a bunch of things recently, and now, and you've been, you know, quite busy, and now you're sort of, you know, coming back to earth. And so what has, yeah, so what, I honestly, I can't keep up with all the stuff that you're doing. So what have you been doing? And it's nice that you've, you know, come back to the earth's orbit for a little while.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back. And I kind of like took a little bit of a break from creating content and speaking, and I'm kind of still on that break, but I'm happy to kind of like dip my toes back into the well, you know? And
yeah.
So the last year has been wild. And I think that it was like around about a year ago when we last spoke, right? Maybe like October, November, you think? Like,
I think I could go back and check. I think it was like, you know, you might be right. It might be right about then. When was that? Let's see.
I think we're coming up on like a year, which is insane to think about. Like, it's felt like it's been like 7 years, 2 months, like, you know.
Oh, I know. Well, that's something to definitely talk about. Time has changed in this world. You know, it was 9 months ago. So it was 9 months.
Wow. Okay. It was 9 months ago. Okay. So, so since then I finished my massage therapy program, and like within, I got my license on Friday the 13th.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, and I'm just kind of like looking to see what's out there, and I'm excited. I kind of want to work. My teacher, when I was in massage school, has me thinking that I should work at like a doctor's office or go like the medical massage route, which is funny because I could never see myself working in a doctor's office, but I understand what she's saying. Like, you know, there's a lot of different routes that you can take within massage, and I'm just kind of like looking at everything, and I feel a lot of excitement. There's a high level of demand in this area for good massage therapists. So I'm like, I feel like I'm like a kid in a candy store, you know, kind of after doing astrology for so long, and I haven't really been doing that as much anymore. So, which is nice. It's nice to take a break from time and from the different set goals and seasons. Like, I think I needed a little bit of a break from that, you know?
Oh yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, I mean, I haven't done charts for, like, I did do astrology pretty regularly, well, for a couple of years, and you definitely can start doing a lot of charts, you know? And yeah, it'd be hard. It'd be hard to do for, well, a living, and also just the, yeah, it's a great thing, you know, but at the same time, it's you know, a chart is a lot of work for, and yeah, it's a full-time thing. It's a lot of work. I think it can get draining for sure. You know, as a full-time job, it can get, you know, pretty draining.
It is so mental, which is fine in some ways, but like, I don't know, can be, yeah, like it's a different strain that maybe like we're not used to using, I guess. And also, you know, yeah, I think that like for me, because the astrology of like this time period is so complex, like it's like what Nostradamus was talking about, you know, when he was writing, like that we're in a period of like what's called conjunctional astrology, which is something that Nostradamus talked about, where like a lot of big outer planets come together and like make noise, and that's why we're in all of these really crazy, you know, kind of collective situations. And so it's just a lot, you know, and I think everybody in their own way is feeling, you know, some of that, like some of the fact that, like, as somebody who did astrology for almost 10 years professionally, I can tell you that that shit is complex right now. And, you know, yeah, I think that, like, for me, I would rather like help people with their bodies for now. You know what I mean? Like, instead of, because people also look externally a lot with astrology. They're like, when am I going to find that, you know, the soulmate that's going to just like take all of my problems away with my presence in their life? You know, I mean, I think like, or when is it going to happen for me? You know, that's like the thing. And I think we learn with the Neville material.
Yes.
Though I have really, I've thought a lot about Neville teachings since we have spoke, like last spoken. It's interesting to think about how, you know, he just says, right, like the subconscious, the imagination, awareness is God. And that you are the one creating things. And I was just wondering, like, since I have you here and we're talking about Neville, what do you think about like the idea that we're co-creating with the universe or with the higher power or like our higher self versus the idea that like here now in this expression, we are God, you know, like, what do you think about the distinction between that?
Yeah, it's tough because it gets into that Neville concept of, well, I know he did speak about it and he wrote about it, but the whole idea of, you know, free will, do you have it or not, you know, and it gets into his definition of your like wonderful human imagination, as he would call it, you know, being God. Mm-hmm. And so in a sense, really when we are in a meditative state, you know, which can come from just walking barefoot on the grass, or it could come from, you know, lotus position, doesn't matter. You know, when you're there and you're aware of that I am presence, then that's it. That is your wonderful human imagination. That is God. So it's,
yeah,
it's quite the, I think it's one of the things that, I have to qualify it. I'm not a big Eckhart Tolle fan. Okay. But sure. Because I just don't want anyone to think I don't drive a minivan or anything like that. I'm not a what do they call it? Power of now guy. But the thing is that Eckhart Tolle, it's like the one thing he did say that was very powerful. And I think he said it, there's this amazing, you can probably find, people can probably find it if they search for it on YouTube, but it's just called Even the Sun Will Die, which is about as cheery as Eckhart Tolle gets, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's this great talk that he gave, and it was recorded live, and he gets into like what he called like the natural consciousness meditation, which I think is all he ever really needed to say was that when you meditate on the energy of the body, your I am presence, your energy, you feel it. You know, one can feel their conscious force of that is their body, you know, they can feel that. And so I think that when we get into the I am, you know, when people cultivate that, and some people are meditators, some are not, some are, it depends on how you get there. But if you're individuals are cultivating that presence, that consciousness, that's the human imagination. That's the I am presence. That's like your connection to, you know, some say that like all human consciousness is actually, all of our memories actually exist in the Earth's magnetosphere and not really local to our brain, but our brain is like our transceiver to it, you know?
Oh, so like that.
Yeah.
Relationship.
Yeah. So you start to like connect to that magnetosphere, all of consciousness. Mm-hmm. So I think that like that God experience, which, you know, I know some people, probably not anybody's listening to that, but some people would say, my, that's quite, you know, you're very full of yourself. And I'm like, well, that's one of the things you have to work on with Neville material, is you have to realize that you're a God. And it's almost a letdown at first, because you're so used to it being out there that when it's not, you're like, oh man, it's sad.
You're like, I have to take responsibility for all of this. But I do think that like the way that Neville teachings are currently being taught and are like adapted by like present time manifestation coaches, some of them, there is, I don't know. I feel that there has, maybe there's like a simplification or like a glossing over of like what is actually like what has formed the foundation for our subconscious mind. Because I think that like probably, I mean, you believe in past lives, right? Or concurrent lives, right? So you know,
both. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're all, yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like, you know, that some of the things that we really struggle with, like our deepest limiting beliefs that prevent us from claiming or accepting like our own kind of like our own connection to that, what you're talking about. You know, I think that some of those limiting beliefs don't come from this life. And, you know, if you think about like a river, like going over rocks, it forms grooves over time that then sort of like really form these like really ingrained patterns. And so I think that like for me, I've been focusing on, I don't know, just kind of like maybe looking at why some of the contents of my subconscious is the way that it is, you know, and mm-hmm. kind of like looking at it that way, because, you know, so for about a year, I've been applying Neville pretty regularly and, you know, regularly getting into the sort of like alpha theta brainwave state that you're talking about and doing general, you know, sort of like lullaby method, doing things that are more specific, have seen like turnarounds on both of those things. But, you know, what I'm coming up against, or not against, but like what I'm coming up with is like all of these different layers, you know, of like different, you know, like I'll have an experience one day and I'll be like, dang, like, isn't that interesting? Like I'll find like a little, you know, like a little like needle in the haystack or a little belief that like doesn't anything that prevents you from accepting your own creatorhood or, you know, what prevents you from receiving like the good things that life has to offer, you know, those beliefs are, they come from somewhere, you know, and I think that I know Neville doesn't get too much into that, right? Like, but I think that that's been an interesting component for me, at least in terms of understanding, you know, why I'll go to sleep with sats and then I'll have dreams of manifesting the opposite, right? Because that's
yeah. I hear what you're saying. I think it's one of the things, like Neville was a great teacher, but he was like, he died in 72 and he mm-hmm. was teaching since the 30s. Mm-hmm. And I think some of his best stuff was probably like in 1950 or 60. And totally. he went through a lot of evolution during his, you know, time here. And I think like, you know, one of my favorite little books is just like, you know, At Your Command, you know,
you brought that one up last time.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's a great one that I tend to give people quite often. I'm just here, take this, because it's not biblical. And it's just mm-hmm. the idea of a little bit of like, you know, metaphysics that he speaks of and, you know, hey, you know, like a state akin to sleep, relax, visualize the end, you know, of your manifestation. So what would that look like, you know, if it was fulfilled, would people be congratulating you, etc.? Or would you just have it? What would that be like? What would that feel like it? You know, be in that state and just kind of hang out there and then just drop it, you know, like because maybe you fall asleep if it or on the couch during the day or at night in bed, or you just were sitting there just visualizing it while you were at the checkout, you know, at the grocery store, you know. So maybe you were there for a bit and then you do it and you drop it, and you know, later in his career as a teacher, he would just say just do it once and drop it, but most people aren't that advanced. You know, so they're going to do it once in a while, you know, even though knowing that just to have even just a whim, we have a whim, we go, oh, what a great whim. That sure would be nice. And we forget about it. And an hour later, boom, we have it, you know. So you can just it's our own resistance that keeps it from manifesting. But
that is the truth of the matter. That is absolutely. I swear that like there have been things that I have been personally resistant to that I have dropped the seed for, and mm-hmm. I have experienced some crazy things as a result of that, you know. I feel that, you know, what has worked more often for me is something more general, you know, like the lullaby method, or like, you know, something like that where I fall asleep. I think that for me now, it's so normal to fall asleep in that state and to like get excited for, you know, for bedtime, and to like, you know, kind of like, I do a lot of Ho'oponopono, or, you know, maybe a guided meditation or something, and I'll really get myself there. And then I'll just do like lullaby method, thank you, Father, or, you know, like, or just, and then you fall asleep with a really, really good feeling. And then more often than not, you'd be surprised how, just how much, like, how many things, you know, kind of align the next day is what I have noticed. And so, so I feel like if I'm feeling a lot of resistance towards something that I desire, you know, there's probably reasons for that. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about like the past lives, ancestry, like these different things, how that contributes maybe to like our little like subconscious feelings of deficiency or unworthiness, or, you know, things like that. And I think, I mean, for me, like, if I want to release resistance to something too, you know, what I've been doing recently is like, this isn't Neville, but I've been doing a lot of like Ho'oponopono, which to me, I want to talk to you about revision actually, because I have tried to revise specific events, but for some reason have struggled to accept the new memory. And there is a movie called Sphere, I believe it's called. Have you heard of this movie?
No, I haven't. Sphere? I'll have to check it out. Sphere, okay.
I haven't actually seen it, but someone was telling me about it when I was talking to them about revision. It's basically where one day these people, you know, they wake up one day and there's like this alien sphere like in their town, and it starts to slowly like corrupt everything that is around it. And so they all collectively get together, and I could be botching this, I haven't seen it, just somebody told me about it. They get together and decide to collectively forget that this sphere has ever arrived there. They agree consciously to forget. And then one day they wake up and the sphere is gone. So I believe in that. I believe in the power of revision, but I have maybe been coming up against, like, in my process within the last year of like really applying this stuff regularly, I found way more ease in dissolving tension, resistance, stress, things like that with Ho'oponopono, as opposed to re-remembering events. Like, for me, for some reason, I have found that it just doesn't work. Like, and I'm not saying that the practice of revision altogether doesn't work for everybody. Maybe it's just a matter of like individual difference, but I'm just wondering, as someone who's been practicing Neville for a long time, what do you think about that? And I really do believe that consciously forgetting something could be, you know, some people might call that like spiritually bypassing or something, but I think that that could be a very good strategy to apply to what's going on in the world, you know, at some level right now too, you know? So
no, I think so. I think so. Because so I find that with revision, one of the things with Neville is that he was, how would I put it? He was, you know, he was teaching in a time that was very different than now, you know, and I think that he never really touched on a lot of things that I think, like, if he was alive today, you know, people would be asking him all kinds of questions that he never got asked. And I think he'd have to be engaged in a way that he never really was while he was around. And so a lot of his teachings are, he just sort of said it, and people didn't really ask questions. Supposedly, I've heard that he had, you know, groups of people that he worked with, you know, very closely and such, but I've never seen actually any evidence of that, other than he just went and lectured, you know. There's weird claims that have been made and stuff like that, that he had like VIP groups and such, but I don't think I don't think he did. I'm just kind of guessing. I just don't think so. I think So the thing is, he taught, I think, the best he could at that time, because he was using a physical body as well. And like, you know, and like the life experience that was his. And so I think revision. So for me, when I look at revision, I got to the point now where I only ever revise something that I did. You know, I really never revise anything
that happened to you
or that I did, maybe, you know, or, and it could be that it happened to me. Yes, true. Something happened to me that I did, something that's very personal.
Yeah. You know,
outside of that sphere, I don't really revise anything, because really that's everyone else's deal. And, I just don't get involved, because it's too much energy. So for me, what I found with revision is, I do it extremely half-assed. I do it very, very quickly. I just go, how would this be? I like it like this. Okay. Like that. Yeah. I like it like this. This is good. I like it like this. And now I drop it. I really do. I go like the heck with it. And if I feel that in the future from that moment, if I can still feel this pull, like this is something which is, you know, bugging me, there's this hook there, I'll do it again, sometimes a few times, but in time, maybe it takes a dozen times, maybe it takes once, but you know, there's really nothing that hasn't gone away. And it's true. So forgetting is a good way to look at it. So now you have no energy there.
Yes, exactly.
And you forget about it. And that's really fine, because our point of, you know, God consciousness is right here.
Exactly. Or manifesting
from this moment. It's just we're no longer manifesting it, because that's the thing about the past lives, about the parallel
past.
The parallel lives that are happening at once, you know. I see it as like our past lives are all parallel lives.
Totally.
Our past and future, the mind can't quite get it, but it's past and future lives all happening at once. And so when you revise something, you're clearing this energy block through many timelines, many
right.
incarnations. And so, you know, all you need, so if it's very personal to me, I'll revise it, and I find that like just the less effort I put into it, just revise, I like it like this, so sure, it's nice like this, I like that, drop it. And if I have to revisit it a couple of times, you know, maybe even over the years, it comes back and I go, oh, there's a little bit of something there. Let me revise that again. You know?
Have you heard of the law of reversed effort? I think Neville talked about that, but also Joseph Murphy talked about that, and Emil Coué talked about that, where like basically Coué talked about the law of reversed effort as like there's will, like your will to get what you want and to have what you need. It's kind of like an ego thing a little bit, you know? And then there's like your imagination, which is like what these teachers believe is God, right? And then, you know, so Emil Coué said that the will, like the imagination wins out over the will every time. So if you're putting a lot of effort towards something, it could manifest the opposite, or it could produce like wonky results. And I think that is... that's something that I gained like when I was kind of like midway through the last year, was like this sense of, I think as you practice Neville, as you get into the state, and it's really, it's Joseph Murphy too, it's Emil Coué, H. Emily Cady, all of these different New Thought writers, they, Florence Scovel Shen, they all advocated for that state, you know? And I think the longer that you do that and the longer that you dip into that and get into that, your resting state.
Yes.
And for me, I found that I grew from someone who maybe was unknowingly holding a lot of like anxiety or tension or fear, and kind of moved in a direction of like holding a lot more like relaxation and peace and security. So it kind of like, even if, which I have manifested some of the things that I, you know, was the seeds that have I was planting at that time. And since then, like, you know, it's trial and error, but like,
yeah,
but I feel that like my state around it, or like my orientation to it, is much more relaxed and like peaceful than when I started. And I think it's just a matter for me of like returning to the state and not like, you know, returning to the alpha theta, like the sats state. I think that trying to force something and like to really like, you know, just to bang it into your head a million times and to like, you know, to sort of like, you know, is could be very counterproductive and could, mm-hmm. I think as well, if you have a lot of resistance to it, like we're talking about, you know, it's yeah. like, it could, I feel like people could do that and give themselves like heartburn or a headache. Yes. Like, you know what I mean? Like it could like, because sometimes we're not ready for what it is. Sometimes like, you know, the sort of like your baseline state needs to change before, you know?
Yes. So, yeah. It's a like vain repetition.
Yes.
You know, as yeah. Neville used to call it, you know, exactly. And I think what I was thinking with like with what you're saying reminds me like, so with Neville, I think that he made a lot of things too easy, as in he yeah. would give the method, which it really is that simple, but mm-hmm. he was also quite the badass manifester. And then I think about like maybe
a method actor, right? Like yeah, he was a method actor.
Yeah. And he was so he was definitely good on stage, you know, and he was quite the amazing astrologer as well before he, as he called it, he traded the Pearl of Great Price for, and he gets in this whole, there's a great lecture called Pearl of Great Price. And he talks about when he was an astrologer.
Yeah.
And so I think that something that Neville did is, I'm never quite sure how to put it. I think that he oversimplified as far, this is how I see it. And I think it might have just been the time he was in, is that, a manifestation is a path, you know? Mm. So if you are aware that, you know, so that if you can go through the initial like staircase of disbelief, like step number right. one, you're God. Oh man, that'll just stop most people. That's it, over, you know? But yeah. then if you keep going up the staircase of disbelief, I think that some of the things that really help are like, yes, well, you could say massage, you could say energy work, you know.
Nervous system regulation. Tuning,
fascia. Fascia release, tuning, for all that stuff. Yes. You know, PEMF, all things, including diet, exercise, you know, whatever one's meditative practice is, you know, all of that gets the toroidal energy force that we are, you know, that manifests the body, the chakras, the energy. When that's flowing, mm-hmm. you manifest much better. Yeah, I believe, you know, even totally. Though you can be unhealthy and manifest, but I would just say it's going to be easier if you're healthy and your energy is flowing. And the thing that Neville really never went into is that, so this is a spiritual path, and he never really said that. I think it's a spiritual path because now you've realized that you're a creator. You're okay. There is free will out there. All the beings have free will. You have,
I want to come back to that, but
yeah,
go on.
You've got the, we'll come back to that free will, but we'll come back to that. I'll make a note, free will. But so when you have something that you want, like Neville used to say, like where did the whim come from? You know, that ultimately your conscious center, when you get into the I am, then you're open to God, you are God. And then these mystical, amazing experiences come through you. And mm-hmm. and of course, it's something that you have a desire. You go, I would like to hike this trail. I would like to become a massage therapist. I would like, yes. Where do your whims come from? So your whims are coming from that deep part
from
of
God,
yourself.
Yeah.
From God, yeah, you know. And we can get into like the superficial ego self, you get into the God self, but ultimately these whims are coming through us, you know, these desires are. And so with that, this is our path. This is where the growth is. This is where the self-realization is. And so your manifestation is a big friggin' deal. And Neville never really said that. So it might be, you know, a 5-year path through hell. It might, you know,
exactly.
because you need to clear all this bullshit out to get where you're going. And also, this is another one that got me about past lives, parallel lives happening at the same time. Abraham Hicks used to call it, or does call it, the like universal manager. And I know that Neville called it something. I have to find out where he called it this. He did have a name for it, I think. But what is it that manages us? Because here's the thing. There are times when, here's a question for you. Like, hey, like, there are times when I have been just full on in manifestation mode. Like I wanted something and I was there. You know, I had visualized it. I experienced it, you know, stayed akin to sleep. You know, I had done it like several times. It was done. You know, like I know it was just so powerful and it was to be, you know, it, and I even dropped it because I was like, man, I have worn that out. It is, I am, it is done. Yes. I feel it, you know? Yeah, it's done. And when you really are done, it's one of the things I was looking for the book, The Five Lectures, but I couldn't find it.
Right. I remember recently. You mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, Brian Scott just did a reading of all each five lessons, and it's very good. If somebody wants to just listen to it, it's actually very good, and the book's not very big. It's five lectures he did in a row, and a lot of people think it really was his best getting the point across. But he said, like, when you really, really are in that state of manifestation, mm-hmm. it's like an orgasm, and then you are like exhausted.
Yeah.
Right? Like you literally will be like, whoa, like you don't want to do it anymore. You're like I've had enough. I can't. I've had enough, you know? So anyway, I had achieved, it was manifest, right? But it didn't happen, you know? And I would even see it pulling into being. I would see the manifestation starting. You'd be like, this is happening. I'm seeing this starting, you know? And I was like, yes. And even when it wasn't, like when it seemed to go the wrong way, I'd be like, yes, I don't care. You know, the 3D, whatever. And I realized that, you know, and this is the thing about free will is that, I didn't want it. It's that here's the thing, you may have come across this. Maybe it was years later. Maybe it was a month later. I was like, yeah. Thank God that never worked out. You know what I mean? So who yes. is it that screwed me up? Because if, you know what I mean? Because it had to be a higher me, an angelic being, spiritual sure. helpers, God, but I had manifested it. You know, it was manifest, but something stopped it from happening. And I was so grateful. So who that has been.
I relate to this so much more than you think. And this really gets into some of what I too have been questioning of, like, you know, because I feel that there are a lot of like promises made. If we look at like the, I believe like that, you know, Neville was doing what he did, which was amazing in his own time. And that maybe we are to be picking up the ball a little bit and continuing yes. some of the thoughts and ideas, you know? And so toying around with the idea of like influencing people, free will, because these are things that today's, you know, manifestation teachers are kind of getting into in some ways. And I have to wonder about that because, you know, I recently, you know, had an experience where like you kind of like, have you ever had the this or something better?
Yes.
Kind
yes.
of experience where you actually don't get what you originally wanted, yes. but you get something that's like way, way better. Yeah. I had that experience. And so for me, I know that like, you know, that it's made me question a little bit some of the Neville material. I'm not in the same place with it as I was when we last spoke. I'm in a whole different place and that's a great mm-hmm. place to be in too. But it's like, you know, I do wonder about that because I do believe that in some ways, like maybe me not getting it was for my protection. And also there's this idea of like you giving things to yourself, you know, too. Like if you have a desire, you can experience an imagination and then drop it, like you said. And it, the desire, like that hunger kind of goes away, you know, yeah. a little bit for me, or I've experienced that. So I have a question though about like, okay. And I know that like the manifestation coaches and teachers of 2024 aren't necessarily, I mean, we've fallen since like Neville's time, in my opinion, you know, just looking around at things and in some ways.
Yeah, the 70s, I think, is when that started, actually. That's just my take on it. Yeah.
Sure, yeah, I could see that. And, you know, but I feel like I've listened to a little bit of it, but not too much. But what I have listened to makes me feel like it's kind of a bastardization of the teachings, because you end up hearing a lot of like, no one has free will in your reality. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, and there are like a lot of like sort of bastardized interpretations of everyone as you pushed out, you know, that kind of like lead into things that kind of resemble control, like controlling yeah. the person to me. And, you know, and so just it makes me feel a little, I don't know. I mean, I was just wondering, like, because I believe on some level that we have free will, but it's more like we have the free will to change our ideas and to like give ourselves new concepts in our subconscious, rather than like, you know, if we're stuck in a pattern and a pattern and a pattern, our brain is only going to see those choices that we have like been used to making. So it takes yeah. like, you know, a conscious choice to say, you know, I would like to manifest this, thereby breaking the pattern.
Yeah,
you're gonna have there's a little bit of a process there, but I just wonder about like what you think of some of the teachers of today saying that humans are basically just other humans or just robots, and it's all you and everybody's empty, and it kind of can get very, very like solipsistic in a way that can be like kind of dissociating a little bit, you know, and like.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering what you think about that. And I have to turn my light off. It's kind of But I'm gonna turn off my camera real quick. But I want to listen to what you have to say about that.
Okay, I'll be right back. I'll just hold tight for one sec. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Better.
Yeah, well, I think that, yeah, so the whole, free will thing. Well, somebody who's doing really great work with that, and there's only one, current, I would say, YouTuber, you know, who really is taking the Neville material, like, who's truly evolving it mm-hmm. and helping people get a deeper understanding of it. And that's this one guy, Joseph Ally. And, he's made videos for years, but some of his latest ones, and now he's with this lady who's doing the same thing, and some of her recent ones are very good, and they kind of have taken on the free will idea, you know, like getting the free will take on things. But so they're very good, their insight. But I do think that it comes down to ultimately there's only one of us here, you know, we're all individuated. Like, you know, the I am that you feel is the same that all else that all else feels, you know, and that mm-hmm. we have our assumption, we have our, you know, reality that we envision, that we create quite literally as we get better at it. And then mm-hmm. I don't think we're ever actually influencing another person in a negative way. I think that we are. These are just laws of the way that the universe works. That's another thing I was thinking, how we need to get away from. I know that Neville liked the Bible and so does Joseph Murphy and all that, but I'm sort of done with parable. Mm-hmm. I think parable was for their time, but this is just my little take. I think we're done with it. We just need give me paragraphs and bullet points. This is just give me the spiritual science, because that's where we're at now. Parable sucks. It's and you know, also when you look at a lot of the writings that we're following, if you want to get like, you know, out there, a lot of archonic deception within them. So I'm sort of like, I think that's where some of this stuff, this difficulty comes from. You know, you have to sort of like sort through it to get like those truth strains, those truth strings, those truth connections. Joseph Murphy and Neville did, but I think that was for their time, not ours. It's just my take on it. But so we have, it's an influence, but really it's an assumption. So the thing is that if you assume, if you, you know, visualize a specific, you know, relationship with someone, then you hold true to that, you go, this is my vision of that relationship, then it may come and go. They may go this way. It may look like this, like that, but then eventually it will blend into that relationship the way you want it. you know, but you're not negatively influencing them, because really there's only one of us here. And it's my take on it that there's more than one of us. Like, our individuated consciousness is something that we don't quite grasp in our linear mind. You know what I mean? And so we're having many relationships at once and connections that, like, we're living lives that we only sort of know about. And I think that, like, through this practice, we begin to know more. Like, Neville talks about stopping time.
Right.
You know, which I definitely believe that. I think he did. And then also how he has so many, like, deep spiritual experiences where he would, like, fall in other timelines, as we'd call it today, and be like, oh, wait, this is a different, you know, situation. And he had to kind of find his way back. And also he would, like, see people who he knew died yesterday that didn't know they died. They were alive in their experience. So he knew they died yesterday, but yet they're still here. So who's that person? And who's the one who died, and who's this? So I think our consciousness, this individuated consciousness, is much more than we can comprehend. So I really don't think that we can. I think on the, this is where I think people get confused on, like, the, like, we've all in our life probably had, like, we've met, like, a narcissistic psychopath, right? If you haven't, don't worry, you'll get your chance probably. So the thing, they have a way of getting around. And so the thing is that's a person on this 3D realm masters manipulation, control, domination, and torture. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we get that confused with the I am, where a whim comes from God, ourself, our highest self. And then we go, I would like this relationship with this situation, you know, like, I would like this relationship with this person, this with this situation. I would like to, you know, be entrepreneurial in this way. I would like to, you know, all of these things. You know, I would like to be healthier. I would like to, you know, I am healthy. I'm getting healthier. I would like to, you know, all these things that come, you know, all these whims are of God. I really believe they are, because that's what we are. The more in touch with yourself, your I am you are, the deeper the whims are that come through, you know. And every whim is a gift of God. You go through a path. Some manifest tomorrow, you know. Some manifest in a couple of years. But, like, what Neville didn't get into is that he talked about, like, walking through the fires, the furnaces.
Right.
You know, we have to walk. Yes.
And everything has its, like, its hour, you know,
hour
time.
And it already existed. So really, it, you know, since it already existed, it sort of called you, you know, it's like God connected you to that future happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. So as far as, like, the free will, it's a tough one, but I think that ultimately from that I am presence of manifestation, we simply, it's like a holographic template. You hit like the consciousness of God hits it, the laser, then you get the hologram, you know, like we just manifest that. And we're not even that thing that you may manifest and affect other people from the God source, from the whim. It's never going to be negative. Even if it might appear to be, it won't be, you know, and it's really, who are they and who are we? Where's that separation? And how many of you are there? Like, one of you died yesterday. One of you is alive today. You know what I mean? It's, and I'm only beginning to grasp it myself. And that's part of the path. That's part of the fire, is the furnace, I guess, is that you get into, you know, what is free will? What is the I am? And what is another I am?
Right.
Yeah.
I think about, like, yeah, like, kind of walking through the furnace as, like, could be the bridge of incidents, maybe.
Yes.
Like, to, you know, but I guess I wanted to, okay, so I wanted to share with you that it's kind of like the double slit experiment, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, maybe there's infinite versions of you and you're on other timelines doing cool shit and other shit, you know, then there's, like, a lot of different things going on at one time and you're focused on, like, you know, Craig, you and me right now are having this conversation. This is, like, our particle. And right now, based on, like, my beliefs and assumptions about men, about YouTubers, about all these different things, about you personally, that, like, kind of defines how you show up with me in this conversation.
100%.
And then vice versa, right? So, like, you know, you can have an assumption, and we make all of these like moment to moment judgments without even realizing it, you know, and we assign all of these different meanings to things. And, you know, so I think like that, that's my take on everyone, as you pushed out, is that like,
yes,
somebody could be the worst person in the world, but if you have kind of excavated whatever is alive in you that would maybe accept like abusive treatment from other people, or, you know, whatever it is, you're going to get the best version of that terrible person, you know, to
yeah.
And, you know, so, and also it kind of like, it gets into like, well, how did those experiences of like tragedy, or, you know, how do those experiences of, you know, like if somebody like loses their family in a natural disaster or experiences like a terrible event, to what degree did they manifest that? And is that some type of like, you know, we have like all of these different seeds that are from a lot of different quote times or whatever that I think like can come to roost, you know, and can come, you know, so I think that it's just a matter of like pruning the vine, like we were, you know, we've said before, you know, in terms of like what we can control of that, you know. Yeah. I have some other questions or just maybe points, topics, ideas that have come up like in this, and I just wanted to share that. So you mentioned diet a while ago, and one of the things that I noticed was my spiritual potency and my ability to manifest when I vastly decreased my sugar consumption and even cut out certain like carbs, like, I mean, potatoes, like different fruits, like when I cut those out and focused on like good fats, like animal protein, things like that, I noticed that my ability to manifest like increased, you know, tenfold. And I think everybody's body is different, but for me, like the lack of sugar makes for a steadier, easier, like more, like a less up and down, less turbulent path.
Yeah.
Like this is a path, you know? And I think it's important to look at things like diet and addictions and stuff like that, because, you know, you're kind of like getting to, you know, you're getting to that place where you're more steady. That changes your resting state too, is not having blood sugar spikes all the time. So I just wanted to share that. You also talked about kind of clearing out the gunk and clearing your energy. And there's so many ways that you can do that. But one of the things that I used to do prior to Neville, and I kind of fell asleep to it, and then I like woke up to it again, was like really deep clearing my energy, like visually, like imagining like, you know, different colors and different like tools that I would use in my like visual, it just doing energy work on myself.
Yeah.
That is another thing that I noticed, like when I really started to do that and apply that in addition to some of the Neville stuff, even just going general, doing the lullaby method and stuff like that, that really also increased, if we're looking at this like from a results based place, which sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but you know, that really also helped me quite a bit. And I think there's so much that you've said that I just want to respond to. Sorry. So,
go for it. Yeah.
You talked about Joseph Ally, and I guess his girlfriend's name is Athena, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I really like about them, and I'm sure that if I like watch them long enough, I could come up with something that I don't like. I mean, whatever. But like, one of the things that I have really liked about them is that they really emphasize the feeling. And I think that that is, I mean, you know, Neville said it himself, feeling is the secret. Like that is how the subconscious speaks. Mm-hmm. And when I think about the things that I have attempted to revise, specifically some of the stuff that happened last year that kind of like pushed me into some of these Neville-esque ideas, when I think about trying to revise some of that stuff, the initial impression on me was so strong and so like viscerally like negative, you know, that I think that like that, you know, there are certain things that wouldn't take, like when I was trying to replace it with a new memory, because that feeling wasn't necessarily as vivid. And I think that the things that I have manifested quickly, like opportunities, like money, like little things kind of working out here and there, right? Like those things that I have manifested have always come from me falling asleep in a good feeling. Like visualization may not even for me be like necessary. It's just like getting wrapped up in that like goody good feeling, like before, like as you're in that like, you know, restful state. I also like the gateway tapes for like really learning how to access that state too. Just if anyone, I'm like trying to like pour out like ideas and resources, because this is a really like profound time, I think, to be sort of like working with your universe, you know, and, you know, kind of like exerting a little bit of imaginal, not control, that's not the right word, but, you know, like when advertising is a $1 billion industry and they spend tons of money to like control our minds for some reason. And, you know, for like, you know, so I think that like what a very empowering way to go about getting your needs met and to go about having a life is to really take a lot of that back, you know, and to kind of like guard your subconscious from certain things too, you know, like a protective parent almost, you know?
Yeah. No, we actually, we do. Yeah. And yeah, I'm glad that you like Joseph Ally and Athena, because they, I would say those two are really, some people are a little bit off put by Joseph Ally, because he can be a little weird. Like he used to be,
he's a
like
human, he's a human being. Like he's had like some issues with drugs, it seems like. And
yeah, and you can see it, you know, you can see his history, you know, he kind of, you can see his history, and some of his history, you know, wasn't good, you know, but it's good now. And you know, he's quite the living example of it. So yeah, I would say that that's like the only, I know there's many out there, but as far as people who've like dedicated their channel, like what they're doing to Neville, I really think he's the only guy, and she's probably the only girl really, who are actually really taking it to, they're doing something new. They're actually helping people get the concepts, because, you know, Neville was a great teacher, but he also wasn't a very good teacher in some ways, you know, like
there are holes that people like me are finding, you know, and that I'm trying to kind of like reconcile with in my own philosophy. But I will say that, like, have you ever heard of there's two people that I really like. There's Missy Renee, and then there's Dylan James. Have you heard of Dylan James?
I know Missy Renee, and I do know she's cool. And then there's Dylan James. I know I've heard the name. Gosh, I may even actually had him on the show. It's possible, but I don't remember. Oh my gosh, I don't remember.
So I will say that like I stan Dylan James like 7 out of 7 days of the week. I love him because so a lot of his content and material is oriented. Uh-oh, my cat's coughing. Some of his material is, most of it is oriented toward relationships. And
that guy. Okay. I know who you mean. Yeah. Okay. Now I remember.
He has these belief tapes that he makes. And, you know, a lot of creators make belief tapes, but the ones that he makes are so like articulate. They, for me, work well, maybe because I'm a very verbal person and the affirmations are a little bit wordy, but they are a lot of affirmations like, I'm starting to believe, I'm beginning to accept, you know, which can be very like beneficial for your brain, because you're not just like jumping into the I am. It's like, I'm starting to believe. It's like a more gentle sort of like growth approach, you know. And so he has tapes like that on his channel. He also has like short, like 10 minute like statements where he just repeats like 3 phrases, and then also focuses on like kind of like getting your 3D right, exercising, like, you know, nutrition, focuses on like nervous system regulation and breath work. And that, the way that he has that sort of system, and as a system of kind of like identity shifting, and he said that he's more influenced by malts and psycho cybernetics than Neville. But it kind of, but it all kind of, you know, works together in the sense that, you know, as you change your identity and you change the I am of you and like, you know, this is the life that I have. This is the life that I experience every day. This is what, you know, Neville talks a lot about naturalness. So a lot of Dylan James's phrasing and his affirmations are like, you know, it is natural and normal for me to feel X, Y, Z, you know, and that it just really resonates with me. So I really like Dylan James as far as like content creators, but there are some that are maybe like, you know, a little bit younger, like millennials and Gen Z. And, you know, they're, I feel that maybe they're doing a little bit more damage, kind of like taking Neville's teachings and like kind of bastardizing them and not taking the law of reversed effort into account. So there's a bunch of like young 20 somethings trying to manifest their ex back and they're like, you know, getting super like wrapped up in it and super anxious and having anxiety attacks. And, you know, and it's like, I think that, you know, the way that Dylan James and I think Athena and Joseph and Missy Renee and the people that we've brought up, the way that they go about it is so relaxed because there's really no rush. It's really okay. You know, when you're in that state, as opposed to sort of like, I gotta get it. You know, like,
yeah,
it feels so different. It's like a different texture to it, you know? So I love those two, Dylan James and Missy Renee. And, you know, I'll take a look at Joseph Ally's stuff. I haven't watched him in a little while, but have enjoyed like some of his breakdowns and stuff. So,
yeah, I would say that the last couple months for Joseph Ally and then Athena, I think are where it really gets good. You know what I mean? I think they've sort of, like, turned a new page where I think they're kind of like next level. Than they used to be, you know.
I will take that. I will look at that.
Yeah.
Are you pressed for time or anything? Because I do more question.
We got time. There's no set times. We're good.
Cool. I think I might have like 10, 15 more minutes worth of gas in my tank, and you know. So yeah. My question is, and this touches on something that you said earlier that I wrote down, is do you think that there are whims that we have that are coming from, because, you know, like if you, it's hard to adopt the Neville worldview and then go look at like some of this black pill, red pill, matrixy material of like, you know, we're living in the underworld and there's archons. I mean, those two ideologies clash, right? So, you know, to what do you believe that certain whims and desires can be, you know, like distractions coming from shadow, coming from victimhood, coming from wounding? Or do you think all desires, point blank period, like come from God?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, I think that it depends on the individual and how much they've cleaned out. Like we talk about health of the body, health of the spirit, you know, connection to the I am. The more work you've done, I could say like the brighter you are, ultimately, the more awake you are. I will say a person, it won't take them very long before they're going to clear out the mess and their whims will just be good. They'll just be from God. They really will be. But I will say that I've certainly had whims that were, you can call them dark, I guess you could say. But the truth is, here's the thing. It's that that's where every manifestation is a path. It can just be whimsical. It can be beautiful, like reversed effort. Like you have a whim. And when a person has had a few whims where they went, oh, wow, whim, and then it manifested, they went, wow, I don't have to try so hard. You know, so I think that like the whims of God manifest very, very easily. And then as far as the archonic whim, right? it's like, I would say that there comes, I think we burn them out. That's the thing. It's there are many things that there's manifestations that I know I was full on. I mean, I manifested it. It was done. And then I came to a point where I was like, I don't want that anymore. Then I went, but I've wanted it so long. It's such a habit. I don't want to give it up. I mean, I have so much invested in this. But
eventually, I have felt that what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then eventually I was like, I got to drop it. It's got to go. I don't want it. I never did. Because who's me? There's that universal manager. There's something greater than us that isn't going to let us have what we don't want. No matter how much we I mean, you probably experienced it.
Yeah. When you fully drop something too, the fucked up thing is, like, for some reason, is that when you fully drop something, like, you're like, I'm done, you know, with this, like, or you're either you go into Sabbath or you don't, right? That's yes. Okay. Like, either way, you know, but when you drop it, it manifests, you know, but then you're like, eh, I don't know, you know, I've been there totally. And I think that, like, if I were to, looking at this all as a process, because if, you know, if you talk about, like, sort of like what Jesus did, what Jesus was capable of, that kind of thing, if we were to look at, like, Jesus, the man and the story and the teachings and all of that stuff, it's like, if you're looking at that right now, say we have no, this is my opinion. We are maybe coming to the place where we will understand, but right now it seems like we don't really have, like, an understanding of what it might take to, in terms of, like, spiritual discipline, in terms of being on the path, in terms of going through life experiences. We don't know what it would take for a being to literally walk on water or, like, literally, like, perform a miracle. I believe that we might be about to kind of fuck around and find out in that way, you know, but... Yeah. But I feel that it is, we have a ways to go. And I think that that's why, like, some of the, coming back to the I am presence and the imagination versus the will, those two things feel very differently. And for me, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of rest. There's a lot of safety. There's a lot of provision in the I am, where those little voices of doubt, ego, fear, all of that, and maybe where some of those emotions are, like, exploited somehow by, you know, the archons or whatever, you know, it's up to me and how I choose to set myself for the day and, like, the night ahead. And, you know, I think that we do have a lot of, like, a lot of personal responsibility, you know, and that's a tough one for people.
Yeah. Well, something that Neville's, like, where we talk about, like, the archonic deception and, you know, demons and negative things. I think that really what Neville, I swear he glossed over a lot. I really do believe it, you know, maybe because he was already, like, so far out for his time. He was like, I'm just going to just stay somewhat, you know, I'm just going to keep it cool. And
manifestation is a niche, you know, just like speaking about, like, psychic protection and, like, demonic interference, a lot of that stuff is its own niche. And, you know, better than anyone, better than I, like, everybody, you know, we know that, like, we can't be everywhere at once. We can't do it all, you know? So maybe one person isn't meant to hold the entire teachings of the universe, but he brought what he brought, and it was good, you know. And
It absolutely was, yeah. You know? And I think that he, I think what he meant when he was just talking about, like, you're God, you're all of it, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that can manifest in your experience outside of your assumption, you know, of your consciousness, of your projected consciousness, your I am presence. Like, because he was making the point that even if there is archonic deception, right? You know, even like all these things, they're not as powerful as God. They're not you know? And so even if there's, like, aliens, there's other life out there, of course, you know. But I mean, the thing is like, everything we might see that, like, you know, all of it, all the negativity, all the crap, you know, it's not as powerful as
you. It's also part of us, you know.
It's like, part of us. Nothing can overpower your assumption, your manifestation, your creation. So I think maybe one of the things about that is, like, when it comes to maybe, like, the Neville ideal is that if you're certain of what you want, if you have your vision, it's something that I know where I screw up is I don't hold my vision all the time. What are the things that I want to manifest? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the things that I want to manifest? You know I do it and I drop it. And I think that's good. But I think also we should, because I'm finding for me, I need to have a daily practice that keeps everything going, mm-hmm. you know, because then I know that, okay, I do drop the seed, but I have a practice that keeps that momentum going so that the archonic deception doesn't affect me, because I'm God. I manifest what I want, my assumption. I'm creating it, you know. And then, of course, I'm also open to be like the assumptions and creation of others. Mm-hmm. But only what's really resonant with my level of vibe, of I am-ness, you know. Bad assumption in this universe won't affect me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think that what you're talking about is really interesting, because it kind of like, it brings up for me what I've been working on for the last year, which has kind of been like a total like self-concept overhaul. Like, I'm not the same person that you spoke with months ago. Yeah. And, you know, have really experienced like there's like that big old man, new man sort of change and jump. Yes. Like everything in your reality begins to like respond differently to you. I've experienced that within the last year. And one of the things that you're bringing up for me is like the idea of like spiritual discipline.
Yes. I think that
for me, what allowed me to have that discipline when I was kind of going through that change and that rewiring and like, you know, the transformation was like, I mean, I had to have discipline. Like I had to, because I got to a point where I was so tired of myself and tired of my mind and tired of the things that I was pushing out. So I was like, okay, you know, let me like really look at a lot of where this comes from. And, you know, then there's that idea of like, if something tragic or terrible does happen in your reality, where do some of those assumptions come from? Because it's not like you and I are sitting here like deciding that, like, you know, we're going to go through a really shitty experience if that is going to be what it is, you know. It's like, it's, but I think that those seeds do come from somewhere, maybe some of those concurrent lifetimes that you were talking about. And so for me, this is what makes me think that it, like, it's not like you're holding on to, like, if you have a specific desire, I'm not talking about like coming back to that specific desire over and over and over and over and over until you just exhaust it and you exhaust yourself and you're over it and you're like, and you're hot and you're cold with yourself and you're here and you're double-minded. And, you know, I'm not necessarily talking about that, but I think that like to regularly return to like whatever your practice is and to hold like the different idea here, even in the face of the opposite, I think that requires a level of discipline that a lot of people maybe struggle with, or like I've struggled with in the past. And I think for me, I just had to get so fucking sick of myself that like I made this change. And I have seen my reality shift, though I do think that, and in the last year, I mean, I've been applying this like pretty much daily and have seen a lot change, but I'm also aware that like I'm still so early in the journey and like there's so much more that can be possible. You know, we have energetic set points around certain things, like how much money we can make or what, how good it can get, or, you know, like I have people in my life, and I've been this way too, where things will get so good in my life and then suddenly I'll get sick because there has to be something, you know what I mean? Like there has to be something. And so it's like, I think that in that way, it takes time to tease that out. So I guess like if there's anybody listening to this who is on a manifestation journey and is maybe struggling or is like seeing sort of the outpouring of the opposite in their life, like to kind of just like stay with it, because it does take, for me, it took time to lay a new foundation and to create like a new experience. It took time. And and patience with myself and different practices and lots of grace. And I mean, it's like, I think that there basically with where we're at in terms of like, you know, some Christians, fundamentalist Christians believe that we are like in the end of days. And I agree to some extent in like an esoteric way, but, you know, but I think that like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we can do on our own and that take time, but like, you know, we can lay a new foundation and we can like dig things up by the root, but it just, maybe for me didn't happen overnight, you know, as much as I believe in quantum leaps and all that stuff, I believe in that, but I think that's also a soul choice that's being made at a level above, you know, to experience like a full on like reality shift in like 24 hours, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's absolutely. I think that it comes down to like the whole, I look at it like what I've been pondering, the whole universal, you know, manager. There is something that's not screwing me up. It's not slighting my will. It just knows that great line, you know, I'm like, I and the Father are one, but the Father is greater than me.
Right.
So that there is a greater presence that I am.
Yes.
You know, that like, and it's right here too, but it's just that like, it's like you have the I am-ness of the physical point of manifestation of consciousness, but you also have that. And so when we're here, you know, we're focused on the I am, we're also focused on our greater I am. And so I think that, you know, we're getting into learning how to, like Neville said, you're never deleted.
Yeah.
Like you're never deleted. Like your personality, like you don't go away. So don't worry about it. You know? And so I think that we're learning to like that balance, you know, that's the thing, like to be both like, well, God and individuated consciousness at the same time, you know? And so I think, and that's what everybody's been working on forever anyway. I mean, that's like what, you know, the sadhus in India are working on. That's what, you know, that's what the, you know, the dudes meditating on the side of a terrifying mountain in Tibet are doing. I mean, that's like, you know, and in a way our process is definitely not as crappy as theirs. I mean, it's kind of like, this is not a bad process to getting there to just, I'm just trying to manifest crap. That's what I do, you know, but that's how it sounds superficially, I'm sure, to some people, but I would just say once you start, you will find it goes way deeper than that.
Yeah. I think it can be a pathway. I think that there's many different pathways for different people, but I think it can be and has been for me. Yeah. I hate to use the word like enlightenment because that sounds so whatever. Like it's like the word enlightenment has so much energy around it, right? It's
loaded. But yeah.
Very loaded gun, that word. But yeah. I feel like for me, I was so big into like renouncing, like I was vegan for years and years and years and, you know, kind of internalized a lot of that renunciation spirituality, sort of like more Eastern practices, non-dual practices. And I think that once I started to really dip my toe into like following my desire and like, it's okay to take up space, it's okay to have, you know, like, I started to really come alive in a different way and like understand like my power in a different way. Like I kind of it's true what they say, like we are very powerful. And I think that's why, like for me, I think that at this point in time, like last year, when I really started deep into this Neville stuff after having like a long spiritual life of, you know, and just kind of like glassing over some of the new thought teachers. I like Joseph Murphy quite a bit as well.
Oh yeah. Know? Me too.
I can listen to him speak in his Irish accent and I get like, it's like my DNA feels like something is occurring. Like it feels like it's like a transmission coming from Joseph Murphy. And I kind of think it's interesting because the teachings are very similar. Their teacher was very similar, but I feel like there's a lot to, gosh, we could probably spend a long time on this topic because it is so long and winding and vast, but, and I appreciate you too for like inviting me on here. And, you know, I've taken a break for a little while on like creating content and just sharing my voice. And so it's been like really refreshing to have a conversation again in this way, like, you know, through this medium, because I haven't really been doing that so much. Yeah.
Well, it seems like there's going to be like it will start again for you, but it seems like it's going to be in a way, okay, unlike you've done before, you know. It's going to be very different, you know.
Oh, I can Joseph, see that.
Yeah. And Joseph Murphy, one sec. Yeah. Yeah, I love this one. Joseph Murray, of course, I always have all this stuff within arm's reach. You know, I have to, yeah. Joseph Murphy. Yeah, within you is the power. Like this one is great. I like this guy here. Oh, is that?
This is my big Joseph
the big
Murphy
one. Wow.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through this right now, and I pretty much like read 10 pages every day. But this has all of the books that he ever wrote in it.
Oh. Okay, that's cool. I like that.
And yeah, he is very deep into parable as well. Like he has full books where he just does parable and like, you know, and I guess for me, like this might sound like a bitchy thing to say, but I can only read about like, you know, going into the Father's house that has many mansions. And I can only read about the new wineskin, like I can only read about that so much before I'm just like going a little nuts, you know? So,
Oh, I know. Yeah. And it's, that's where I think we're getting beyond parable. No, I'm the same way. I can only deal with like,
I feel that when you said like, that, I was like, ding, ding, ding. I was like, I'm over.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're done with parable. I think so. Because it's like, I think that we'll always study it. It will exist, you know, but I think it's going to become more of an historian's interest, people who like studying them, and the contemplation has a value. But look, I mean, I don't care about like, you know, sticking your goat in a camel bladder and then walking into the desert. And then, you know, someone goes, well, if you dissect that, I'm like, I don't want to.
No,
I don't want. Yeah.
It's the tea right here. Like I can deal with it. You're like, I can handle it.
Yeah. And like some of it's kind of cool, but this isn't even, I think it's like Hefritz or something like that. This really cool, like philosopher said, like he goes, they were in the desert, and why people are always wandering in the desert trying to find God, I have no idea. I'd go to a forest myself, but they were in a desert because it's what they do. So they're in this desert, and they couldn't irrigate things. And they're like, wow, we're all starving. We can't irrigate the crops because we're in a desert because we're idiots, right? So we're a bunch of dumbasses in the desert, you know? And so her Fritz comes along and goes, just dig irrigation ditches. And they're like, well, that's not going to work. Anyway, they dig the irrigation ditches, and the water comes. And that was his thing. You know, he's like, you know, if you really had faith and you dug those irrigation ditches, the water would flow. You know, so some of the stuff is really neat, but I mean, at the same time, that
your faith is your fortune, you know?
Yes, your faith is your fortune. Well, the you mentioned the Gateway tapes, like the from the Monroe Institute, you know, and if you ever want a copy, I've got all of them. If you ever like want to,
I will be reaching out to you about that.
Yeah,
I will be,
I've got the whole thing, all of it, you know,
okay,
and yeah, and it would take me a lifetime to get to the highest level. I'm like, it's really deep. But the thing is, I think we're going to see with the Monroe material is that this is where I think getting beyond parable, I think we'll just start. It's kind of like in the Matrix where you want to download, you know? So like, you know, you say, you know, tank, download me. How do I fly a helicopter? Okay, now I know, you know? I think we're just going to, and it's not transhuman. It's not AI. It's none of that. It's very organic.
You could look at a picture and receive the 1,000 words,
yes,
kind of a thing. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I think we're going to get into the like the Monroe material, but I think it'll be like where a lot of that's around. Well, it's deep stuff. I mean, but
and more automatic, maybe too. Like a little less, like a little bit more automatic, and maybe a little bit more potent in the coming years. And
exactly, I think it's going to be both teachings that we're learning from, and then I think also like if we want to program our consciousness, like we don't need a parable. Like if you want to manifest, let's say, greater financial wealth, you know, I think we're just going to get, you know, frequencies that we can listen to, you know, affirmations, morphic fields, and also our own I am, you know, conscious, our own body consciousness. So it's going to be like, okay, get your mind, body, and we're just going to like go boom. We're going to have these. That's what I see. So I think we're in an exciting time. And that's something that Frank Jacob, who's been on a few times, talks about, like the two timelines of humanity. And even though there's a timeline for each individual, there are these great big groups, you know. And I think that definitely you are on the timeline that like I'm on, and many people I know are on. And we're like we don't know what's there yet, but that's the thing. The I am, those whims, that future pool is pulling us there. You know, somebody's managing us. That is our advocate, that it's beautiful.
And the longer that I think about this, and the more that like I've kind of like been aware of like the timeline idea, like the more that maybe I'm a little bit more in trust with, even if it gets kind of hairy a little bit, that's also where some of this stuff comes into practice. Like when the rubber really meets the road, like you don't think that some of this manifestation shit is going to be useful at that point in time, if that is what it's going to be. Like if before there's like a full split, you know, if it gets a little weird, you know, if it gets a little hairy, we'll be able to use what we've been learning. Yeah. I mean,
I think we're there.
But I mean, like, you know, but for me, like, I'm looking outside of my window right now, and it's a beautiful night. There's people walking their animals by my house, you know, and so it's like, yes, we are there on some level, but it's not to where it could be, at least not out front of my, you know what I mean? Like, so I think that like the choice ultimately kind of boils down to the state of like fear or love, and it's like, which one are you gonna choose, you know?
Exactly, and that's that spiritual discipline you're talking about. I think that's like a huge one, is that it's something that I know I'm working on too, is that is keeping that I am presence, to have some practice, which I do. It isn't like I don't have it, but I know I need to put more needs to be put into that, because I think, like, as you mentioned, like the rubber meeting the road, and it's crazy times, which it is, like now maybe more than ever, we need that just, you know, I need to up my vibe, but I need to up my I am a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like turn up the volume on that. Well, it was a really nice time chatting, and thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this a lot, and will not take as long to come back to chat.
Yeah, I have a feeling too. Let's see if we can do better than 9 months this time. Yeah,
I know. I own it. It's fully my fault. I was fully avoiding speaking in front of people for like a season.
Well, I'm glad that it is very flattering that you did your reemergence, you know. Like, I love it. This is awesome. So everybody, you know, Meredith is back. You're going to be hearing from her.
Oh, we'll see. But I hope that you have and if you're listening to this, hope you're having a wonderful evening, and that you guys all have a good rest of your night.
Yep. We intend it. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.